The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. We'll grab a couple of quick calls here before news. Bill Forsten joins me. We're talking EMP. We're going from property disasters to grid disasters. Could be like avoiding disaster Wednesday instead of the wheels up. I don't know. Hi, caller. Who's this? Welcome.
Hi, this is Suzanne from Weimar.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
And I have a couple of notes regarding serpentine soil.
Sure.
In California, the reason why the Santa Clara Valley got so screwed up with development was the Santa Clara Valley fathers decided to tax the property at its most highest valued use, regardless of it being a farmland and in use as such. However, with serpentine soils, you have a chance. Yes, they are low in mineral, but I worked on an area near the Redwood City, and I found on 500 acres of serpentine 10 rare and endangered species of plants and animals that locked that land up into a preserve for perpetuity. So if you have serpentine on your property, get some of the people from the ag department and the Sierra College out here to see if you got serpentine rare plants, and that might save your property from further inclusions.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thanks for the opinion on that, Ann. Let me go to next line. I only have time for one more call. This is it. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hi, this is James in Selma.
Yeah, James.
I looked up the there's some videos on Vibrant Planet. The lady that owns the mapping company, Allison Wolf, she claims that there's beneficial fire, that we need more fires. It's a woman-owned company, and she says women are more bold about the burning fires. To it's beneficial to that the Indians and the Aborigines in Australia, that she's researched all them, and that we need fire to help the forest.
Yeah, the thing is, though, the Indians did not apply broad-based, full landscape burning solutions. You know, the last thing they would want to do is burn out their hunting grounds or any of their agricultural areas when they try to do that.
For Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, friends with both them, and Google.
Basically, these are the people who are part of the problem, as we well know. Thanks, James. Yeah. Vibrant Planet. You know, those are the people behind the fire map. A coincidence or not, huh? All right. Shifting the gears, hey, we'll revisit this certainly for Conspiracy Theory Thursday, no doubt, but Vibrant Planet and all that kind of good stuff, all right? Bill Forsten joins me after the Kim Komando update. That's all coming up.
Two Dogs Fabricating carries North Star flatbeds and...
I speak with a lot of authors over the years, but if there's one author that has probably kept me up late nights doing a page-turner on fiction, which has its basis in reality, would be William R. Forsten. Dr. Forsten is a New York Times bestselling author. He's a professor of history at Montreat College in Montreat, North Carolina, holds a doctoral degree from Purdue, specializing in military history and technology. He's written more than 50 books, noted expert historian and public speaker, interviewed on, well, practically everybody. Fox, C-SPAN, many others, ranging from history to technology to space technology development to security threats. And wouldn't you know, he has written prolifically on the danger of the electromagnetic pulse and the weakness or the vulnerability of the nation's electrical grid to such military attacks. Dr. Forsten, it is great to have you back on. Morning.
It's a pleasure to be with you again.
All right. Now, Bill, oddly enough, you write about the power being out kind of on a semi-permanent thing on the 1 Second After series, which I just loved. And like I said, you're not coming up with a new series of that, are you, at this point? Another additional one?
No, I've done 4 books on it. And at the end of the 4th book, it was like, I don't ever want to write on this again. My next book is going to be called Happy Bunny Goes to Town.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to write children's books instead.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, and it's so funny because it was an hour ago, and I had a listener that was asking, Bill, what would happen, you know, in our society if we ended up having a situation where maybe he had, like, economic collapse or Medicare was going to collapse, and then you weren't able to get medications for, you know, millions of people in the population? And I said, well, you know, Bill Forsten wrote One Second After, and that was an EMP kind of shutting down civilization. And essentially, you talk about the fragility of society and how, I mean, within 30 days of something like that, you really do have a pretty large die-off in the population starting in
you
such
know,
matters, right?
I call it the expectation of normalcy. Mm-hmm. Everything worked yesterday. It's working today. We automatically assume it will always work tomorrow. But that might not be the case.
Yeah. Now, an electromagnetic pulse, we've had some experience with that in the past. Back in the 1800s, there was a what was called the Carrington event. It was a big discharge from the sun, if I recall. Maybe you can explain what happened. And it was such intense radiation put on the planet that the telegraph wires in the nation at that point caught on fire in many places from the intense energy being released. Is that kind of a smaller version of an EMP? Or what is an EMP?
Yeah.
You're going to define that for people.
It's called a CME, a coronal mass ejection. The big one was in 1859, like you said. It's called the Carrington event, named after an astronomer who put all the correlations together while observing the sun and said this is affecting Earth. What happens is, with an EMP, you detonate a small nuclear weapon about 200 miles above the Earth's atmosphere. When it blows, it creates something called the Compton effect, an electrostatic discharge that intensifies as it goes through the atmosphere, hits millions of miles of wires, which are now antenna, feeds that into the grid, overloads the power structure, and it shorts off. Worst case scenario, three such weapons, Eastern, Central, Western United States, blows the grid out, and according to some congressional studies, 2002, again in 2008, about 80 to 90% of the population would perish within a year.
And this is not just because medication goes away, but it is the electricity to pump water, sewage, mm-hmm. all sorts of things, all the energy, just the basic ability to use many energy sources right now. Fair enough.
Well, I'll ask you the question. Where did you get your water this morning when you got up?
Well, I could be dumb and just say it came out of the faucet, Bill.
Yeah.
But yes, it came out of the faucet. But no, really, it came due to electric pumping stations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just like the sewer gets carried away by electric pumping stations and then is treated and then pumped out into the river, and then the water comes in from the Big Butte Springs through electric pumping and gravity feed in many cases, too. But it's all connected, right? Everything's about electricity.
Yeah. I call it like a Maslow's hierarchy of needs post-EMP. You lose your water instantly, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other things start going down. Your pharmacies are all down because their medication is delivered almost on a daily basis, but they don't have electricity to run their computers. So it goes. Food, about 20 days worth of food is a typical supply in a city. That's gone. Command and control, everything is down. Chaos follows, and then it gets bad.
Yeah. And that's just the beginning of it, though. And
yeah.
And your books, of course, really really illustrated that. And I don't think you were hype-filled or hyping the situation. I think this is just real. And our challenge is that we have this amazing technologically-based infrastructure or technology-based infrastructure, which is able to do incredible things, but ultimately is very fragile, right? Is that really where you're coming from on this?
Yeah, there was a DOE study, Department of Energy study, about 10 years back that freaked me out a little bit. One, it pointed out the average component in our electrical grid is about 30 to 40 years old, all the transformers, wires, things like that. 90% of our primary electrical needs, the large transformers and such, guess where they're manufactured?
China?
Oh, no, yeah, really. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're really going to help us. Oh, they're going to be here the day after. Even when it's working, some major components you have to order 2 years in advance. All of that is gone. Another DOE study pointed out if we lost the grid, 80% of the electrical grid would still be offline 5 years after the event.
Whoa.
80%.
So much for our gangrene, climate-friendly, equitable community living in the city with our solar cells on the roof kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and we'll all eat granola while we're at it.
Okay, yeah. And going down to the co-op, things will be fine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so you've been raising this alarm for a long time. And you have gone and you've participated in hearings with Congress and saying, hey, listen, we need to be able to, you know, essentially defend the nation against an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, because it's actually a pretty cheap weapon to do, right? I mean, this is something that you could see you don't have to be an incredibly wealthy nation to be able to do something like this to another country. Isn't that the case?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the most bang for the buck. Let's say you detonated a nuclear weapon over New York City, right over, the Empire State Building. Well, a 50 megaton, a kiloton weapon would blow, but things just as far away as Wall Street would still be surviving. But you blow it out in space, you've taken the grid out. So that's definitely the most bang for the buck. It's what the military calls an asymmetrical first strike weapon.
And in some ways, you think about this, Bill, I was just thinking about this, that it's almost like what used to be what they talked about, the advantage of a neutron bomb, in which you killed the people, but the real estate was still there, right?
Yes.
Remember remember that back in the 70s and 80s? I remember reading about that, right?
Yeah, that was a big thing during the Carter administration. You blow an EMP, it doesn't affect anybody on the ground. You might get people underneath it or within line of sight would see a flash and they go, what the heck was that? But then seconds later, everything starts going off. For example, there's 5,000 commercial aircraft over the United States at any given time during the day. Majority of those would turn into bricks. And even if you had Sully up front, the guy who saved all those lives going into the Hudson River, becomes a flying brick. So within minutes, quite a few thousand people will die in the opening move of such an event.
That'll at least let you know what is going on when you're seeing every plane drop out of the sky, all right? And like I said, though, you have brought this up to Congress. You've brought it to their attention. You've brought it to their attention again. And I think you continue to write papers on this. What is the status of actually getting something done? Last time I talked to you, I think the cost of actually hardening the nation's power grid was, if I recall correctly, about $100 billion back then. It's probably more now. What do you say?
Yeah, well, what's $100 billion more or less these days? But, yeah. It's frustrating as anything because back just before Trump finished his first administration, he mandated a report, comprehensive report, to the president about the effects of EMP mandated by DOD, DOE, EPA, and others. And I thought, thank God, we're getting something done. Well, the day Biden came into power, he canceled the reports.
Oh.
So 4 years more of no activity. But the current, again, now we got Trump 47. I know we're going to start moving forward, but we need more popular support for this, that people are saying, yes, we definitely need defense against EMP.
What are the steps that you take to harden a nation's grid against electromagnetic pulse? Because it seems that, like you had mentioned, the entire grid is one big antenna, and the EMP is a big radio transmitter in some ways going, you know, we're going to zap you all. We're going to burn everything out.
Hmm? Okay, a number of things. Well, let's start first of all. We need a robust foreign policy that says don't even think about it, which we're seeing now. I mean, for example, the clear message to Hamas, either you do this by Saturday or all hell's going to bust loose. We need the same thing in relationship to EMP, particularly for North Korea. And if Iran ever gets the weapon. Also, we need to harden the grid. That's done by modernizing it, putting better circuit breaking systems in that will trigger before the current feeds through the system. We need that. We need a home base electrical industry. An analogy I like to give is if on December 8th, 1941, the president's sitting down with his staff saying, okay, we're going to war. And somebody says, you know, Mr. President, the problem is all our aircraft carriers are made in Japan and our planes are made in Germany.
What could go wrong?
We need to bring the Rust Belt back to life and be manufacturing. And this is American jobs as well. It's a no-brainer.
Now, Bill, it's interesting you brought this up because even replacement transformers. We used to have a transformer manufacturer here in Southern Oregon that ended up, being shut down. And I think it's because we weren't able to compete on price point with overseas.
Right.
And even when I go into the electrical houses to be able to purchase just a standard home circuit breaker, I don't think there are any made here, are there? I see Eaton on them, but I see on the side of them that, made in China. Am I right or wrong about that? Do we make this stuff here?
Even if it's put together here, the subcomponents are being manufactured overseas. This is insanity. I mean, this is pure insanity that we've allowed this to happen over the last 30 to 40 years. So, again, Trump's talking about Iron Dome, the Israeli defense system, but that's a point defense. We need a return to SDI, a strategic defense against weapons coming in. They're detonated before they even get close to the United States.
SDI, is that what Reagan called Star Wars? Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Star Wars. Now, 40 years ago, it was basically a bluff in many ways. But that was 40 years ago technology. The technology we have today, the capability, the computer capability, we can make a very effective system, as we're seeing defending Israel, but defending us thousands of miles out, not just a couple of dozen miles.
Yeah, it'd be nice to blow the missile up way before it got here, right?
And it would be better to have a foreign policy that says if you even twitch the wrong way regarding EMP, you're going to regret it.
Dr. William R. Forsten, Ph.D., is with me. And his website, by the way, is onesecondafter.com. Do you have the Trump administration's ear at this time? Or is this something where you're almost having to start from square one again?
I am indirectly. Newt Gingrich, who's been a good friend for 30 years, he's strong. He says this is one of the top two or three issues confronting the United States. So I'm expecting we're going to see action. And, I'll finally get the ear of the great one. If, for example, you saw the interview yesterday between Trump and Musk with Musk's four-year-old son, and Musk is tearing them apart regarding Doge, I know that this is another issue that Musk thinks is important. So it's going to go forward. But it's going to take time, and we need public opinion. Your listeners, if they would just simply send an email to their congressional representative saying, this is an issue, we need it done, it will get done.
Because no power. And the other thing is that I think another part of that grid hardening aspect of it is the green grid has been notoriously unreliable, or is getting notoriously unreliable, isn't it? I mean, out here on the West where we shut down coal plants and then we have, and they say, well, there's always going to be somebody else that we can buy power from. It's kind of, I think, how we've designed things. That doesn't work either, does it?
No, it is insanity. If the other concerns I do have, of course, are cyber attack, even physical attack against substations.
Mm-hmm.
You hit 9 key substations in the United States, you're going to cripple us for weeks. And we're talking about hitting it just with some high power rifles or small explosives to take these things out.
Yeah.
Right now, our capacity, our electrical capacity is running between 95% up because, like you said, we're closing down the coal plants. And that is clean energy now, and we're closing them off because of the previous administration.
We take stuff that works, shut it down, and replace it with stuff which is expensive. Kills the birds.
I'm going crazy.
Yeah, but only works when Mother Nature deigns to give it to us. Okay, all right.
All right. Yeah.
And we don't harden the grid on top of this. So it almost seems as if the people who have been in charge have set us up for a fall? And I know that's kind of conspiratorial. Is it like intentional, or do you think it's sort of like benign neglect and it's much more important to spend money on DEI programs or something? I don't know. What do you say, Dr. Forsten?
Yeah, it's benign neglect. One person I just loathe is the senator from Alaska, Murkowski.
Uh-huh.
She alone killed a bill that was going through about 10 years ago. So basically because it didn't have the perks she wanted for her state. So, yeah, benign neglect. I mean, you got some real intellectuals there in Congress, like Maxine Waters, temper tantrums. They don't understand what the system is. Therefore, benign neglect. We'll spend the money more on DEI or prophylactic devices for Guatemala.
Yeah, well, they're the type of individuals, though, who honestly, like you asked me at the beginning of our conversation, where did the water come from that you drank this morning? Well, it came out of the faucet.
They are. I remember sitting in on a meeting once with Newt and some congressmen, and they left, and I looked at Newt and said, please tell me they're not as stupid as I think. And he just shook his head and said, they're dumber than even you think.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want us to someday have to say, we are doomed, I tell you, Dr. Forsten. But so you would like our public support then, and this is this talking to the congressmen, talking to the senators that we have,
yeah.
and just say, hey, this is something that is looked at, and you may think that your number one issue is maybe getting Medicare supplemental funding or doing something else. There isn't any Medicare, there isn't any medical care, there isn't any food unless you keep power on, and that's the bottom line here.
You can start on the local level. South Carolina, they have a consortium for the independent power suppliers of South Carolina. They're doing it. I've spoken two or three times now. I've gone down to conferences. You can start on the individual state level because the energy commissions for each state, if they're saying, hey, guys, we got to start spending some money on this, they can start from the bottom up as well. So even state reps are people that should be contacted.
Very good. Dr. Bill Forsten, we appreciate you being on. OneSecondAfter.com. And are you going to write on that children's book next time, or are you still going to stick serious stuff?
The irony is I'm sitting in a dark house right now. The power went out last night.
Oh,
so
no.
Even me as well.
Hopefully no EMP at this point.
No EMP.
All right, just a nice storm.
Just a nice storm, yeah.
Doc, we'll have you back on, and thanks for the update here, and I'm glad to know that you're alive and kicking and still doing this work. It's very important, okay? Be well.
God bless.
God bless you, too. OneSecondAfter.com. Great book series, but with a real serious point. Serious as a heart attack. 835, this is KMED, 99.3 KBXG, KMED.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
770-5633. I'm going to give Irish Angie. I love it when Angie calls me up and says, Bill, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. All right? But Irish Angie ended up sending me an email last night and was sharing an email of Angie, but also dealing with some of her relatives back over in Ireland. And she says, I'm in Australia at the moment. I'm aware of everything that's going on in Ireland, and unfortunately, most of my family and friends won't listen. I was in Ireland on a couple of different occasions in 2024, and it's just so sad looking at my country going downhill by the day. The brainwashing and climate change nonsense that's been spewed out by the local radio and BBC and every other network in Ireland leaves the people unaware. I think the Irish nation will go into some sort of captivity in the future that will wipe out the Irish culture. My friends laugh at me when I say stuff like that. I hope I am wrong. Yeah. Emails of the day, by the way, sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. While you wait, crowns are available. Big part of their service. They have an in-house lab now. Don't even have to go out. Good stuff. Could wait 30 minutes and boom. Walk out with your crown. Find out more at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. I have some other emails looking good here, too. Randy weighs in, Bill, let progressives self-destruct. Burn the forest and everything that lives in it. putting all that wonderful smoke in the air, and then leave the dead tree standing to attract disease and insects. Much better than harvesting valuable timber by allowing sunlight to penetrate the canopy, producing habitat for forest creatures. The monsters behind fire-based forest management are not schizophrenic. They hate people, prosperity, other than their own prosperity, and they want all of us to die or relocate to some prison camp, a.k.a. 15-minute cities. I still advocate treating such folks similarly to how the French dispatched their royalty in 1799, but no, we elect them to rule over us. Who are the fools? The citizens who bought the lies of progressivism. Our salvation is those same fools are opposed to procreation. Why are conservatives standing in the way of allowing said monsters to simply abort themselves out of existence? According to Sun Tzu, we are idiots to oppose abortion, the method by which progressives will self-destruct. Randy and Ashlyn. Randy, it's an interesting take on it if you're looking at, the bottom line, all right? We have Jeff writing about the Senate Bill 762 wildfire map visit. And he says, Bill, ODF will not come out to evaluate your property in relation to the map as required by 762, but they will come out after all the smoke of 762 clears in order to see if you are compliant with 762. That's a very interesting point on that. He also adds, Senate Bill 79 builds off of 762 like Bob is talking about, specifically citing it. Golden can't alter 762 any further than the actions that 79 will allow it to do so. All right, appreciate that. Richard Corbin writes me this morning, Bill, this is about the roof collapse that we were talking about a little bit earlier this morning over at North Medford High School. And I'm kind of questioning why there wasn't a little bit more maybe done a little earlier, because, you know, once you figured out this was really wet snow, you could have known there was a problem coming. Maybe there was nobody available to do that kind of stuff. But Richard says, Bill, take a look at the Summit Distributors building in Phoenix. Go out First Street, just past the library, and the building is on the south side of First Street by the railroad track. The roof has collapsed, and the sides of the steel building are bulged outwards. I'm guessing that's a total loss, too. Trees are down, big branches broken, and awnings down. Lots of damage from the snow. Water weighs 8 1/3 pounds per gallon. Don't know the moisture content of the last snow, but for sure it is heavy. Maybe the takeaway is that flat roofs aren't a good idea and in the long run are more expensive. You could be right about that, Richard. Doobie writes about traction control. Bill, I had a 2002 Toyota Tacoma four-wheel drive, great truck. Unfortunately, I hit the black ice and the truck ended up on its roof. I now have a 2018 Tacoma. It has traction control. Saturday, we were heading down to Mount Shasta. We hit some ice. Before I could even react, the traction control kicked in and had the rear end of the track back behind me. I was relieved. Yeah, it can work pretty well in that particular case here, Doobie, not knocking it. Can you turn it off, though? That's it, because there are sometimes the traffic that the traction control gets in your way of being able to move the vehicle, because the moment a tire starts spinning, then it ends up killing the acceleration. Betty writes me about the roof collapse. Bill, there are a number of things wrong with the roof collapse. The area is the first thing wrong. There are a lot of local businesses or buildings, churches, etc., that have flat roofs, including some just off Foothill Boulevard, really close to the IOOF Cemetery. And a lot of buildings don't have the proper eaves and drains. Betty Martin. Betty, appreciate your writing. A lot of questions about that. Patrick weighs in on the roof collapse deal. Says, Bill, low-tech solution. Quick solution to the school roof snow load. Fire department crews out and remove snow with fire hose blast. You're welcome. Deplorable Patrick. Could that have worked? Or would that have added more? Well, I guess you'd have to have a big enough blast to hit the snow and lift it off without adding a whole lot of additional water weight, right? Yeah. All right. Interesting. 845 at KMED.
Garrison's is turning 18, and we're celebrating with a big anniversary sale.
Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, take care of you, and wipe out hunger.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
I think the big question over the next few days will be, the school district knew that they had a problem with the North Medford roof problem. They knew that on Friday. And it appears that little was done between Friday and the Tuesday collapse. But one could have assumed, wouldn't you have assumed with a flat roof and big, heavy, wet snow, that there was going to be a problem, I would be curious what the custodial staff did or Ron Hathenier, what was done in the lead up to this. Was there just no labor available? Was because the school is closed, nobody else shows up and you just let the snow build up? I don't know if you have a thought on this, and maybe someone who is in the construction industry could give me their hot take on this. I'm going to get in touch with the school district this morning and see if they want to say anything about it. But my prediction is that there will be a bit of a circling of the wagons. Now, I'm not saying that they're maybe it was just so intense and so quick and there's just no way to get it off. But I know that it was starting to slide off my roof at home, but it was a pitched roof. When you have a flat roof, wouldn't you have to already fear the worst when you're going into this kind of a storm? I'm just going to just throw it out there anyway, 770-5633. And circling of the wagons, we'll probably see that. I hope not. I hope not. Maybe they'll transparency. Okay, yeah, we screwed up. We should have gone up there and got some people up there and broomed off the roof as quickly as possible. And I know it was heavy because I even just doing my sidewalks and driveway, it was a lot of work to get that off. It was a lot of work. But there's a lot of money going into these school districts too. And now there's going to be even more going into it. Could be wrong. We'll see. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill. It's Steve in Medford.
Hi, Steve. What are you thinking?
Well, I have some inside information on the Medford School District. The staff was completely busy clearing sidewalks and parking lots.
Okay.
And I don't think they had anybody, I don't know what they knew about the buildings. I never heard that discussed, but I have an acquaintance who is involved in that, and everybody was out clearing sidewalks. In fact, I think they bought some snow blowers and stuff because there was just think of how much parking lot and sidewalks there are in all the schools.
There's a lot. Don't get me wrong, but they closed them anyway, didn't they?
Well, they closed them, but they're still trying to get the sidewalk cleared off.
So that
the kids, you know, they were working on parking lots and sidewalks and pedestrian areas, and there's only so many people in the staff.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the management people were out with snow shovels clearing off sidewalks.
That's great, except that it appears, though, that the real danger, the existential threat, was not the sidewalk, but it was the roof instead.
Yeah, I can't address that. All I know is what I heard, and what I heard was it was all hands on deck trying to clear the sidewalk.
Okay, well, we can appreciate that. And I would imagine you probably have to have a certain rating or some sort of OSHA rule involved with going up there and sweeping off or brooming off a roof, right? There's probably something in there.
You have to have a helicopter with lines holding people up. I don't know.
Hey, you know, we're laughing at that, but that may not be too far. I mean, I know the rules for working on the roof now have been made pretty impossible in some. And maybe that's what we're looking at here. Yet another self-inflicted regulatory gunshot wound. This time it took down the North Medford High Gym. Who knows?
Okay, well, one other thing, Bill. Last week we were talking about the aluminum smelters and steel mills.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance said on one of the interviews that he was talking about that the actual utilization rate of the plants we have is only 50%.
So we have room to grow then, even with what we have left?
So we have the tariffs would let us use the capacity we have. And other countries are doing crazy things with their currency and all kinds of taxes and stuff that make it make our opportunities to use that facilities less economically advantaged. The Chinese, there are two Chinese currencies, one within and one without. Mm-hmm. And there's 10% difference. So if you want to buy something from China, you get a 10% discount. If you want to sell something to China, you have to pay 10% more.
Ah, got it. Okay. I'll have to talk more about that on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, Steve. Thanks for that. I want to make sure and grab a couple more here before you go. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hi, Bill. This is Calvin.
Hi, Calvin.
I'm not a construction guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, common sense would, and I don't know if they have this, on the downspouts of a flat top roof, why don't they put some heater cables or something on those downspouts? I bet they iced up, and when it thawed, and then the next night it got real cold, I bet it iced up, and then all the weight just stayed there.
That could be. That could be. Yeah, we weren't talking about just doing snow. That's a reasonable claim there or assumption. We go to line four. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, it's Lucretia.
Hi, Lucretia. I don't think I have time for whatever you're dealing with unless you're talking about roofs. What's up?
You know, I talked about how they're taking out the oil part in the transformer that's just going to make NDMP just destroy all the electrical lines around the country. But the other thing is, I was listening to, you know, Alan Watt a long time ago, and he saw all the, you know, we're worried about smart cities. They want to literally have dome cities.
All right. You got to talk to me about that conspiracy theory Thursday. It's more than I have time to deal with there. Oh, my gosh. Where could we go wrong? Dome. I'd like to put Washington, D.C. under a dome so I can ignore them. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Tim from Merlin.
Hi, Tim.
And, hi. I've used heat tape in my well house.
Mm-hmm.
And I also use a floater that heats the water so it doesn't freeze over for my chicken water. And you can put a mild heat in anything, and it will melt stuff. You don't have to have a lot of intense heat. You could put heat tape in the material right under the roofing material and something that would conduct it, like that wouldn't conduct it or catch fire. But they do, it's like you can't even feel it so much, but it does its job. It actually melts stuff. It keeps the pipes from freezing.
Maybe that's something to consider for the rebuild of the roof. But I imagine everything about this, though, would increase the cost, though. I'm just wondering why, you know, if it did it melt and did it freeze solid and there was no way they could attack it. These are the kind of questions I think that people are going to be asking over the next few weeks, don't you think?
Another thing, too, I think you were right on getting people like, you know, people on staff. But you could actually have employees in the city and county be just like a fire drill. You have a situations that build up like this and they drop their jobs that may not be, you know, immediately emergency jobs, and then just pitch in on that roof with shovels, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. We'll talk more tomorrow on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Thank you.
Start your morning right with Artisan Bakery Cafe, now open 6 days a week. Artisan Bakery Cafe is excited to announce they've extended their hours. So come by Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Fresh baked delicious treats and eats perfect for office meetings, gatherings, and parties. Artisan Bakery Cafe, 1325 Center Drive, across from South Fred Meyer. Or get delivery through DoorDash. Come early before your favorites sell out.
We're out of water again. Did you call Clouser Drilling to discuss a replacement well?
Not yet. I just talked to a company who said they'll beat anybody's price no matter what.
No way. Remember the cheap plumber, electrician, the cheap roofer who disappeared halfway through?
Mailbox full.
Or the landscaper who charged double the estimate? Our well is